Praise the Lord. Okay, I was talking about the power of death. The power of death. I said the spirit carries the power. Yes. Spirit convey their power in words. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto what? What is the power of God? The gospel. The word. That's why he said, Jesus said, by who? By his word he cast out demons. So Jesus unleashed the power of God through words. Praise the Lord. Through words. Words are very key. That's why the Bible says you give account of every idle word that you speak. You give account of every idle word. Every idle word. So words are not just the things we just speak, we talk anyhow and all of those things. Words are very key in the spiritual realm, you know. Key. Even the new nature, if you keep speaking the truth, what we call God's truth, is an unveiling of God in words. He said, there are three that bears record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Word became flesh. He said, what became flesh? Word. So the Jesus that was walking on earth is Word. He said, it's the Word that became a human being. The Word became flesh. What he said that the Word took on flesh and blood, you know, so that he can communicate the Word to what? To flesh and blood. That's why when God came on that mountain to Israel, they say, when Moses said he should go and assemble, God told Moses, assemble everybody, I want to talk to them. When he gave them the Ten Commandments, the whole place was burning. They said they don't want to even hear. That goes, you go and hear, you know. So Jesus became human, became flesh and blood. It was Word. That person standing is Word that took on flesh, you know, so that he could better communicate Word in a manner that he can access, that men could receive it and can access his own Word. So spirit communicate their strength in Word. So that temptation in the garden is not just maybe something beautiful or just glowing. That tree was just so appealing to Adam. No, Adam and Eve were confronted with another power. Praise the, a power that's not in God, a power that they don't know. That's the power of death. So if you notice, if you look at the story of the Bible, if you number one, you see God gives Satan access. That's why I say if you look at from the story of Job, that God say Satan said there's a hedge around Job, and God now give him access. That go and tempt Job. Go in. God is like God literally opened the door into the life of Job so that Satan can enter. Praise the Lord. There's always a wall between light and darkness. Sometimes God can crack down the wall, you know, and allow darkness to invade light. Praise the Lord. So if you notice, now Satan had access to angels. The Bible says he took away one third of the angels, right? He was cast down into one third. He was able to tempt angels. Don't forget that iniquity was found in Satan. Satan has sinned. He said, you are perfect in your way, until iniquity was found in you. So when iniquity was found in him, you know, and God judged him, but he was able to take some angels along. That means God gave him access to the angels. Praise the Lord. God just stood aside and let him to tempt those angels. Those that went in with him or went there too. When God created a man, if you look at the story of creation, God created man in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 created the whole world, everything. Then in Genesis 2, the Bible talks about God now planted a garden. Planted a garden, right?
Yes.
In Eden. Eden. Don't forget that even the Job had a hedge around him. There's a hedge around that garden. Where did Satan tempt a man? Was he not inside the garden?
Yes.
That number two, God gave him access to the garden. How did he come to the garden in the first place? It was God that planted his garden. Then we are now told that, you know, they say Satan was tempted. Well, Adam and Eve, God planted a garden. Planted a garden in the east of Eden and put the man inside the garden. When God put the man inside the garden, if I build my house, I will not allow a thief to enter. Praise the Lord. There are doors everywhere, you secure it. So that garden was visually secured. There was no way Satan can enter into it, but God gave him access. Praise the Lord. So God planted this, man was living inside the garden, was not living the whole earth. God created the earth. Heaven and the earth in Genesis 1, but planted the garden. That garden was man's home. That's where Adam was living. That's his home. From there, he can interact with the rest of the world. He had a home. So in that home, Satan appeared there. Was that not where he tempted Adam and Eve? So that means number two, God gave him access to what? To the garden. So he entered the garden in the first place. Praise the Lord. Then not only the garden, then God also gave him access to man. That's why he could tempt, that's why he could talk to them, say, has God not, are you getting what I'm saying? God gave him access to him. He gave him access to the garden. He gave him access to man. Praise the Lord. Look at the temptation of Jesus Christ. God gave him access to Christ. God gave Satan access to Christ. There was no way. He couldn't. The Bible says he was led of the wilderness to be tempted of the what? Of the devil. And if you read that temptation, the Bible says, and the devil took him. He took the Messiah. The word took, he took. He said he took him to a high mountain. Praise the Lord. He said he took him to a what? A high mountain and showed him. And all of that. He does not have that access to the life of Christ. Don't forget that Jesus is, they say they are God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That is God. He, that means apart from all of, I say he had access to angels before, he had access to the garden, he had access to man. I'm still coming to that. He had access to man. Then now God gave him access to the Son of Jesus. And God gave, you know the meaning? God gave Satan access to God.
He said to God, he said, come and test me.
God gave Jesus, you know, God gave him access to himself in man, in the man Christ. You know, so his access. So to operate that power, you know, I said something before this recording about the power of death. The power of death. So Satan lay hold on the power of death through rebellion. It's not in God. That power has never existed in God. Praise the Lord. God does not know it. Amen. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So darkness is not in God. The power of darkness is not in God. So in that rebellion, in that interfacing with rebellion, and Satan rebel, praise the Lord, that's what unchain and unlock the power of death into his soul, into his soul, into his spirit, into his being. The power of death. And Satan began to use it. Praise the Lord. So it's in the strength of that power he confronted Adam and Eve. I say Spirit, communicate their power in words. So when he stood and told them and tempted Adam and Eve that when the temptation, the confrontation is in the word that he spoke to them. So he unleashed the power of death upon them. You know, and they couldn't stand it. They had been seeing that tree for a very long time. They didn't eat it. But that day, the Bible says the woman saw her eyes open. Things open inside of her. He said she saw something that walked inside of her. Praise the Lord. You know, something that what walked inside of her. He said when she saw that the tree was good, desirable to have wisdom. Can you see? So her internal makeup changed. If it does not change, she will not eat that tree. You know, even disobedience is strength now. To disobey is strength, is power. You know, so she too acquired another power, strength to eat, to go against God. They knew what God had said, it was clear. You understand? And ordinarily, they will not disobey God. All of a sudden, Eve, together with Eve first, then later Adam, all of a sudden, they had the energy and the effort to now go against what God has said. The Bible talks about the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. Something is working inside of them. Now man that is stealing, that is committing adultery, fornication, there is something there. Don't look at the act alone and separate it from the spirit, from a spirit. You see, there is a spirit that is working in the sons of disobedience. Something is working inside. Where is it murder, people killing? Killing. Something is working inside of them. And that's the power of darkness, the power of death. It's a light, it's a power on its own. Praise the Lord. So that power began working inside of them. Then she took it and she ate it. It takes strength. If you have walked with God and you've walked in light for some time, it takes strength to disobey. Just like I stand on and say, it's not going to be easy for me. Ordinarily, I cannot stand up and commit adultery or fornication. It takes another power still working inside of me to bring me to that point where I cannot say, okay, I commit. You know, by the measure of light and truth that I know, the world cannot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when you just get exposure to some certain kind of thing, Satan works inside of you, you go and do it. You know, you go and do it. So that was what happened. So he confronted Adam and Eve in the garden with the what I'm telling you, the power of what? Power of the, it's like hitting a hitting like it's like carrying a baby. Eh? Or let me say, it's like putting a man and hitting with a trailer. The man will fall. That also happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. The power of death. They can't withstand that power. No created being, except God helps you. I know God helped the other angel that stood, can withstand that power, except God himself. And that's why the Bible, that's why Jesus had to come. You know, the Bible says that place we read in Hebrews 2. Can you see it? Let me read it again. That Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have become partakers, have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of what? Of death. That is the devil. He had to destroy the power of death. Then we can now go to the next verse. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? To bondage. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's God that power. That's why we pray. We ask God to help us on a daily basis. Give us more grace. Give us more light. If God leaves you for a second, you cannot stand. With the level of truth, you know. You already know the truth. Amen. And God will just withdraw a little. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may lose the next, maybe because of the light you have, it might take time. Maybe after 6 months or 18 months, you'll be telling us that there is no God. You'll be telling us that there is no God. You'll be telling us that there is no God. As maybe you have been preaching the gospel and have been winning nations from the past 40 years. If God just step aside, it's a walking. It will complete a word. The Bible talks, that's why when you talk about patience, when you talk about God again, he say, let patience have a perfect work in you that you may be entire and complete. It's also a work in the spirit that works in the, when he finish that work inside of you. God does not allow him to access our soul. Once we get born again, he shut down the access. But, you know, sometimes, even when God allows him to come, it's in a measure. Sometimes he allows us to, that's why I say, no temptation has happened to you, except what you are able to what? To bear, it's measured. As you grow, there is a set, that's why as you go in God, God allows certain things to come in measure. As you grow higher, he allows certain things to come, you confront the power of darkness in the measure. As you grow in the measure, you cannot be a baby Christian and it brings something that a matured man of 30 years can handle. You know, like, that's why I say, with the temptation, you will make a way of escape. There is only one person that stood the power of death and conquered it, and that is the man Christ, and that is God himself. That's what happened in the garden. So God gave him access to garden, gave him access to man. You know, gave the power of death to access man. God has packaged him, he has taught them, but he still felt it. He fell to the power of death. And that power happened, that thing happened when Satan was talking to Eve. That is when he fell. The other one is, it was bound to happen. Amen. That one, they went and took the cut it and eat it. Because the power of death confronted her. Praise the Lord. And as you begin to walk with God, these are something that can begin to confront. As a minister, so, wow, very beautiful and lovely minister. He has preached the gospel. You have followed him over the time. All of a sudden, he said, bam, into fornication, into adultery, into this kind of scandal. It is that power of death. So God must tutor us. That's why I say we must be steadfast in the spirit. You know, we must maintain our steadfastness. We must lean on God at all times. Lean not on your own understanding. So when you begin to deviate, so look at it this way. Maybe pride, spiritual pride, may start entering into you. Praise it. When it happens, that Satan is already assessing your life. You that over the past 30 years have not committed adultery, that spiritual pride, the power of darkness is invading your life. It might show up in another area. The strength to stand some certain things is God, that your strength is gone. Your strength is gone in some certain area. That's the power of death, the power of darkness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, all of even for Jesus to die, what happened? Even for physically, no, Jesus' physical life could not be taken.
Yes.
Until he took the sin on the cross. You know, when he took our sin, then a death could not access him. Yes, he need to. Jesus need to submit to death.
Yes.
I said that power, that death is not. He just needed to submit to death. He need to bow down to death for him to destroy the power of death. Amen. Praise the Lord. He submitted to death. And I now destroy him. It's not just about destroying men, about saving men, releasing men. He now destroyed him that has the power of death. He submitted to death. Praise the Lord. He submitted to death to destroy the power of the he yielded to death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in a very simple sense, I'm bringing it to relate to our life. These are things that happen. You know, you see, it's a spoiler. He spoils everywhere. You see, people are in church. They are learning God. They want to serve God. They want to serve God. They want to learn God. But all of a sudden, you see misbehavior. They are subject. They are servants to another power. They must say, to whom you yield your body to that person, you are a slave. You are a slave. That's why you need to hear the word bondage. I was in bondage, but now I'm free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's free from the power of darkness, the power of death. And at any given time, it can access your life. So we must maintain our steadfastness in the spirit, keep walking with God, and we must be very, very, very humble. You must be very, very, very humble and meek. Meekness. You know, just to talk about meekness. Meekness. Even in truth, it will derail you. All this spiritual truth errors, some of them they started well. Started preaching heresy later. That's the power of darkness. That's the power of death. I said death is not this physical thing you see as death. Those ones are shadows of death. Those ones are like a shadow. Death. I told you the Bible talk about the second death. The second death is not like the physical death that you now. In the second death, you are still conscious. You are still alive, but you are dead. The second death. You know the first death, the death we know. The man has died, he's no longer conscious. He has the physical death. I've been cut off. The second death is not like that. The second death is the lake of fire. They are alive. You are dead. You are alive. Yes. You see another life is another life form. It's a life, death is a life on its own. So God delivered, you know, in judgment, to deliver souls that rebelled on death, he deliver them to death. So this one you see physically is just to give us an understanding, it's just a little understanding of what death is. Death. That's why you hear death, the power of what? Death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand it to help our spiritual, like all this prayerlessness, all this not obeying the Holy Ghost. You have something the Holy Ghost say, give it. You are struggling, you cannot give it. Those are the workings of death inside the soul. You know, it makes you to stand up against God. You walk through your, and then, let me, I must not forget, you walk through your desires. Through your desires, that's how it works. Through desire, yes. Battles are the corruption that is in the world through lust. That one lust is desire. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. These are desire. That's why even in the garden, it came through their desire. He unleashed that power, you know, into their desire. You need to walk inside of your desire, your taste board, you know, the things you savour. This is how the power of death works. That's why I see people, you keep teaching them about, you keep learning about God, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, you know, because Satan has worked certain other things inside. You remember the parable of the tares and the seed, the parable of the tares. He said when he sowed the good seed, he said Satan came and sowed tares. And both of them keep growing. When the tears grew and shook, you see that. What did he explain the tears? He said the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Can you see desire?
Yes.
So one thing that is paramount in your life is check your heart desire, the heart, your desire, the craving. You know, praise the Lord. That's why thank God for people like David. This one thing I desire, and this I go after God. Uh-huh. So you check your desire, check your craving. Some people in the beat, they love God so much, but their desire to make money, they are corrupted and derailed. Some, their desire for relevance. And so in the place of truth, revelation, they were derailed. Truth. You know, they start misapplying truth. These are part of the workings of the spirit of death. Praise the Lord. So let our persuade about death changes. You know? Yes. That's why I said in my, how do I put it? I don't want to go fast, but I just want to leave it this way, you know, drop this measure of understanding. When we have some other teachings, next time we can fully go into the power of it in words. Evil communication, what does it do? What is evil communication? It corrupts, it carries, like they say, the virus, say computer, virus can attack a host. It's an evil communication. Communication is words, right?
Yes.
As you interact, you communicate, because words carries energy, carries frequency. It can carry the frequency of God, and it can carry the frequency of the evil one. Seed, the Bible talk about the parable. So it said the seed is what? Is the word. So words carry seed, you know? And that seed we are talking about is a life form that can develop and grow into something bigger. So words carry the seed. That carries the seed of the life of God, or it can carry the seed of the life of the evil one. So it was that seed that was injected into Eve when Satan was talking to him. Injected it into him, and she was bound to fall. Mankind was bound to fall. That's why when he came and was the temptation of Jesus Christ, he was trying to inject the same thing into Christ. When he was tempting him, you know, with words now, he was speaking to him. Words. He said, if you are the Son of God, command. Behind those words you are just hearing, there's something God can make, or only God can make us see it in the spirit realm. There was something really tangible that was trying to inject into the Son of God, into his heart, inject into him. But Jesus resisted it. It is written. You know, it's written. So Jesus resisted. Yes, now. To the tussle of what to what. So Jesus also was releasing another power. You know, I say word conveys power. The gospel is the power. So he was confronting Jesus with power. You think it's just word? You know, it does not work. Power. He was unleashing power. You know, like what we call today, we call it spell, Abby. Yeah. That I was under a spell.
Yes.
Maybe you are working in an organization, somebody just speak to you, you just carry the key and give him and he went.
Yes.
I've heard of armed robbers come to a house. This one is even a person I know very well. I even went there. He said he had very violent dogs, and they say when he jumped through the fence, they spoke to the dogs. And the dogs calmed down and started
followed them
and became an escort to them, escorted them to the house, went into the house with them, stayed under a table. After that time, he let go. He doesn't have dogs again. They spoke to the dogs. Now, what now happened? Dog, animal. Okay, go and speak to a dog now. It's power. The unleashed kind of power, you know, it tame the dog. Can you see? So words is not just ordinary. Words. That you just be messing with anybody anyhow. You know, he said, do not be unequally yoke. You are just yoke. Yeah, this man is my friend. Yeah, you can befriend people. But in heart, you know, the Bible says God separated the light from the darkness. There must be that wall of partition in your heart. Even as you lay, you can be staying in the same place for, you can even be husband and wife. But that wall is there in the heart. That separates light from darkness. So that the light can begin to be the light, and the darkness can be the darkness. So that the light can conquer darkness. But when you break down the wall, and you see light and darkness mixed together, the darkness will overcome it. If you are not strong in light, so that you could conquer darkness by light, the darkness will conquer the light. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So those words, it was power that came unveiling of Christ, and Christ who was unveiling power to counter it. So if you don't have that force, light is a defense, it's also a weapon of attack, it's also a weapon of defense. So if you don't have that weapon, the Bible talks about the shield of faith, right? So light is also a shield, it's a defense. I also talk about the sword of the spirit. Light is also what? A sword. It's an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon. So if you have only the offensive weapon and you don't have the defensive weapon, you'll be conquered. That shield guards your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you don't have that shield upon your heart, when that means just knock, you are down on the floor. Before you know it, you are falling. We are not ignorant of the devices of the evil one. His devices is not just, it's a power. He said the kingdom of God is not just in words, but in what? In power. Power contained and carried in words. That's why he just preach now. Yeah, and if somebody stand and preach, and somebody is crying and getting born again, and becoming a new person, being translated through words. Just you just hear words. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of darkness. You are translated to the power of God through words. It's not just words. Those words carry power. Oh, what happened when Peter said, "There's silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." What do you think happened? Power came upon that person, strengthened the legs, the bones that were bent, it strengthened it. Amen. Added more flesh where there was no flesh. added more recreated flesh on that leg, and the man start walking. Amen. If you see people that are crippled, now their leg will not be as, it will not be proportional like this. You see, one place will be thin. All of those cripples, you've seen cripples. You see one part of, you see when a girl, he they stand, their leg will be proportional to the body. God will recreate flesh on them. Just like the way he created another man, he does turn into flesh. That's that same creative power just coming through words. Coming through words. Some places where there are no eyes. Have you? You know, you can have eyes and you repair it. Where I had it, also I went to preach in one place. Say somebody came without no socket. No socket. What happened? What happened in Genesis 2? Through words, she just, I don't care, he just pray for the person, he just speak words over the person. What happened in Genesis 2 will now begin to happen again. Eyes. You say God gather mud now.
Yes.
Just put mud together. You know there are no eyes in mud.
Yes.
Mud is mud.
Yes.
All of a sudden, eyes appeared inside mud. Through just the breath. God just breathed spirit. Just breath into man. And you know, the formation of the eyes. So the same thing, just speak word. Without socket in the eyes, eyes just appear. What is the difference between that one and Genesis 2? There's no difference. So can you see unveiling of the power of creation and the power of God through word? How did God create the word in the first place? Is it not true?
Word.
It was power now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what I've just explained is simple, that the darkness. I was talking about darkness.
Darkness
that is power. We're talking about power. What remind you? Power, the working of the power. Okay, so praise the Lord.
How God the power of darkness through rebellion?
How is God the power of darkness through rebellion, and then how he was able to also walk through the power of darkness to trap people down?
Satan, on that, there's an understanding that Satan have, and it's all repentant. You see it in the life of Job.
Yeah.
That this power that I have, that God cannot withstand it. He said, look at Job. Does Job love you for nothing? Remove all those things Job before. He said, okay, when he remove everything, he said, okay, touch his life, that a man, who I understand a man to be, even Jesus, even the God, the man Christ, or the God man, or the man God, Satan believed that he will fall. Cannot stand the power of death. I told you that power of death is not this physical death, it's desire. You know, you see all this kingdom I will give you and all of those things he was painting to him. He does not believe. If not, he will not do the rebellion in the, he will not confront God in the first place. He doesn't believe it. He told God that Job touched his life, that Job will curse you to your face. That's what he believes. And he went and tried it. The same thing he tried with the Son of God. Even you, he doesn't believe the same thing. It doesn't be all this while you are talking. I love God. You are being. You just look at it. That by the time I hit you two times, see, that's what Satan.
Just allow you to touch.
You know. Praise the Lord, and that's where he gets his impetus from. That's where he gets his impetus from. All of these things I will give you. Is the pastor he left Jesus for another time?
Yes. Yeah.
He left him for another time. Yes. So his confidence is not the power of light. His confidence is the power of death. Power of death, you know, and I saw that it's so effective in some way, because even Adam and Eve, perfect word, they've not seen dark sin before. They don't know anything. They don't even know death. Only God mentioned it to them. They don't even know what it looks like. They don't see all of those things. But when Satan confronted them, they fell down and he started laughing. He said, "God, I told you. You know, I told you. Praise the Lord. I told you." Even you yourself, come down. When you come down, you can't stand this power that I have. So that's the power that Satan got through. And he has, I don't know all the whole details, but I know he accessed it through rebellion. And it has been so effective. So all of these people trying to serve God, look at Moses now. He followed Moses so until he was able to stop Moses from entering into that. You know, he was able to stop Moses from entering into the land of Canaan.
Yes.
You know, Satan has stopped him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul said, a great and effectual door has been opened to me, but what? There are so many adversities. That's one. Then so, number two, he said, I, Paul, so again and again I'll have come unto you, but Satan stopped me.
Yes.
He stopped me. He said again and again, I was writing to, is it Timothy now, he was trying to talk to them, is it Corinthians, or I can't remember. He said, but again and again, I will have come to you, but Satan was, he stopped me. Satan stopped me. You will have stopped. Even Paul, our great apostle Paul, amen. Satan will have stopped him. You will have finished him. You know what to call it? You know, let me give you an example. There's what we call internal grant and external grant. If you cannot, be like Nigeria now, if you cannot solve our problem, we will now apply to international community, the World Bank or foreign nations. They could please come and help us. That's what we call external what? Grant. Now what we have within also the capability to stand or to put our house together is not there. Then they give us external grant. Paul, he was a man of prayer. He could speak in tongues more than the whole Corinthian church. Every other thing. When God started giving him revelation, Satan would have knocked him down. He said because of the multitude of revelation that God had to give him an external grant. He said he had to send a messenger of Satan to buffet him so that he will not be proud and fall into the condemnation of the devil. If God does, God had to stretch an extra hand to help him. By bringing that affliction so that to keep him humble. Praise the Lord. So with all of the principles you know about working with God to stay humble, it was not sufficient to keep Paul. It was not sufficient to keep Paul. God had to now go what to call external grant, external aid. God had to now give him external aid. He said, because of the multitude of the revelation that was given to me, an angel of Satan was sent to buffet me. You know, so that I will not be what? So that I will not be proud. That's why if you can now read when he was writing to the Corinthians, say knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can make you proud, but love brings you down. So God had to send Satan. God had to send a messenger of Satan. You know, God does not teach his children. I told you before that God does not teach his children with Satan to teach his children. It's the Holy Ghost that is our teacher. But God had to go beyond the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had now to employ Satan. To also help him teach Paul. He said, if you not learn in a straight way, God will now bring affliction, Abby. Yes. It's not God's intention to bring affliction in the first place, but because of our nation. If we talk, we'll not hear. But sometimes when we see Wahala, our eyes will clear. Abby?
Yes.
Small picking that say he must put it. You say, don't go to this stove. Every day you are driving him from this fire. The day he put his hand on the khaki. That from that day, you know, understand what we call Jojo.
Yes.
Jojo, anywhere my daughter hears Jojo, she will run back because she has been born to before.
She has experienced it.
We know we're not here until Jojo, Satan Jojo or sometimes. So, but it's not God's intent, it's not my intention for my daughter to learn through putting her hand on it. But this is fire, don't go there. Simple instruction. All her makeup doesn't understand that kind of instruction. Until she pushes her hand and says Jojo. Juju. Anywhere she hears Juju, she decides she back off. That's what happened, and that's what happened to Paul. God sent a messenger of Satan to him. That's what I call external grant. So even you, all of us, a lot of times God has supplied us without even knowing it.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes you send external what? External grant. And that's what keeps us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what keep us. Amen. I remember one day God sent me an external grant. Several years ago, you know, when I just... There was this lady that was... You know, she just came, she greeted me, was my neighbor, she would come, you know, stay somewhere, you know, around my neighborhood. So, not some, maybe like one or two, a house behind or something. Or so, well, she kept coming. I didn't even know she had another intention on her own. You know, of course, her open to everybody, they come, they go, so... Like that, so when she and I begin to read between the lines, you know, like that, so she will come and say, I just come from work, I'll hear a knock, I will say she's the one coming, she comes, you know, she's going to wear some kind of funny dress, like that, so, you know. But the truth is that God is my witness, I was never conscious of all those things, you know, like that, so she keep, you know, coming, I keep talking to her, like that, so, the one day she came, one particular day, I remember this day, you know. One particular, she came, I was in the room, then a colleague was now staying with me. He just got the job, so he needed accommodation, so he now stayed with me. So we're now two of us in the house. So one day, I was in the house, it was in the afternoon, so I had a knock on the gate, I went, open. So she came in, so she was just talking, like that. But that day, I now understood what they said, that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you know, This thing happened within a space of maybe 2-3 minutes. So, you know, I looked at her, I saw something else. You know, I saw something else, you know. What I mean by saw something, I saw what Eve saw. This thing was good for food. And as soon as I saw it, you know the next thing that happened? I had a knock on the gate. Bam, bam. It was my friend that came. And that was the only time it happened. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you know, there are certain things you learn through practical and literal experience. That was an external grant, you know. I don't want to know the detail of maybe what could have happened or something or like that, but maybe I don't want to know. But what I know that when I looked at her, I saw something else. It's not as if I approached her or talked to her. You know, I saw something, you know, else. But I had a knock at the door. So I know that was what? What's the name?
External grant.
External grant. How many of us have received external grant before?
Yeah. What
external grant. So, amen. Yeah. I was a man of fasting. That as a young man, I fasting, you know, sometimes 80-something days. I fasting and all of those things like that. So, all of those things to keep you fit in the spirit. You know, I remember fasting. Prayers, days, you know, prayers and all of those things, but you still need it. I'm trying to announce you that you need external grant. In the bit of some of us becoming too proud that we don't need external grant, that's why we fall. David will cry. David will still cry after knowing God, after working with God for some time, say, be merciful to me, a sinner, and grant me your salvation. And grant me your salvation. He was already working with God. He was already a man after God's heart. He was still asking God, grant me your salvation. David received external grant too. You remember when he was going to kill Nabal, what's his name? Nabal. You know, he was already going to kill Nabal. If David had killed that man, David would not have become the father of the Messiah in the flesh. Because Jesus will never, the part of the Messiah that he will not avenge himself. He will not use his hand to avenge himself. David was going to avenge himself because he did not give him food. He was going to shed blood. The woman that came, the wife of that Nabal, what's her name, that David later married, and came and stopped God, and came and stopped David rather, from committing that something. David will have shed blood, you know, and disqualified him from the spiritual throne that the Messiah came to inherit. He's calling the son of David. He said he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not what? Jesus. Yet he did not open his mouth, Isaiah 53. So that was the life that David patterned. David, he was afflicted, he was oppressed, but yet he did not lift up his finger to avenge himself. Even when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. If he had killed Saul, he would have disqualified himself. One day I'll teach you about the temptations of David. A lot of Satan lined up his path to stop him from becoming the father of the Messiah. From Jesus, you know, Jesus became the son of David. That title. It's not just about becoming the king of Israel. It's a spiritual title that the king must carry. That title was in a sweet realm. King Saul went in, he was disqualified. Satan, through the walking of Satan, walked over time inside of Saul, disqualified him. And he wanted to do the same thing to David. So there were stages, so many stages in the life of David. He wanted to disqualify him from becoming the son of what? From becoming the father of the Messiah, the spiritual throne that Jesus came to sit upon. The Bible said the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He could have been the throne of his father Saul.
Yes.
Saul. If David had fought him, maybe he would have brought another person. And the throne of his father, it would be another name. They call it the throne of his father David after David had passed the test. They did not say the throne of his father David before David was born and went through all those things. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, we need to now pray now. We'll just pray now and we'll stop it here. You know. What the ultimate thing I want you to take home is the power of this thing is power. You see, misbehaving, prayerlessness, it's power that stops people. When Satan unleashes this thing into you, are always tired. You're always tired. Only you. You don't know it's an oppression. You're not the only one working. People that will do time store what you are doing, they are still agile and alive in God. But you are always tired. Can't pray. To even wait upon God, you know, the hunger cannot. Hunger stops you. You have the capacity to go even to go 15, 20 days without food, and you still be strong. Is there? You know, but there's a way Satan casts setting on that. You know, the mind now, you know, be transformed by renewing your mind. before you know you, before you know it, 2 hours you've not eaten, you are so weak. You are not weak. It's a lie. You know, it's a lie. You understand? You know, it's a lie. It's a deceptive feeling. You are feeling something, but it's a deceptive feeling. It's a lie. If you know that this feeling of hunger is a lie, you know, by the time you ignore it or just ignore it, you do some other things, you know, it disappears. You that were hungry just now, now you are still strong alone. But don't you know that Satan does not only tell lie by words, he also lies by your feelings.
Yes.
You'll be having some strange feeling, it's a lie. You know, that the Bible calls it deceitful lust, deceitful desire. He lies to you in your desire. Sometimes you start desiring something. That's the word of deceitful lust. Amen. So there are so many ways Satan lies, not just in words. Maybe you're going to lie or teach you something. Even your desire. You understand? He lies to you in your desire. You start desiring. They started craving for flesh. When God gave them manna from heaven and gave them quail, they started craving for flesh in the wilderness. That craving came from where? What we call deceitful lust. Satan made them start craving for flesh. You know, the quail and the this thing they were eating was still not enough. They started craving. The Bible call it the evil lust or evil desire. They had desire that they call it evil. So say even you today, Satan can lie to you in your desires. So you must learn to rebuke it and understand the power of death is deep. It's deep. As God is showing you visually, if God can take you to the spirit realm, you come down. If God, that's one dimension. And second dimension, when you come down from the spirit realm, you need to hold God to help you. If He does not help you, Satan will muddle up the whole revelation. Some people, when they come, you say they had, they died, they went to heaven, they come back with strange, fake vision. It's not as if they didn't see some things in the spirit realm. But the interpretation of Satan can mess you up in the interpretation of things you see in the spirit. That's why John, when he saw those things in the spirit, he was able to interpret it accurately. Because when they asked him this one, he said, "I don't know." He said, "Son of man, what is this?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Okay, these are they that came out of the grave." Some of us already know. You know, when you see a snake in the spirit realm, you already know the meaning. You can't even wait for God to give you understanding. When you see a color green, you know, I saw one green tree. You already know what green means. You know? But to the man that does not know, that is the man that God will give light and or explain this thing to. So it's not enough for you to have revelation from God. Interpreting and applying it in the proper dimension, you need that is another working of the Holy Ghost. It's about saying He works in you to will, and He also works in you to do. You've now willed this, you've now had a desire for it. God needs to still work inside of you to do it. The doing, you know, so when you see revelation, when you see revelation in the spiritual realm, or God unveils some things to you, you still need the Holy Ghost to interpret it well. Look at the whole book of Revelation. Even something you didn't even understand, He left it there. The man, Daniel, all those things he saw, he didn't understand anything about it. They had to start telling him the meaning. After telling, then some himself, they say, "You can't even understand this one, leave it. Leave it." But if he already knows, I say, "You know, I saw this thing," and then he's just start telling us a lot of things. So please, let's be careful in our walk with God. And that careful is being open, yielding, and being submissive to the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost can help us and break the power of death. It can invade our homes, marriages. Yes. It can invade your working life. You know? It can everywhere. It's the power of death. Certain things you see, the power of death that is working. So you are not up against one human being or one this thing, not event or circumstance. We are up against the power of death. The Bible says we wrestle against who? Principalities, host of wickedness in heavenly places. Where do we wrestle with them? We wrestle with them in circumstances, with people, both in the spiritual and in the natural. Even in natural communication. Praise the Lord. I will stop here. Don't forget, I told you in the last meeting or 2 meetings ago that one day I'll teach us about the commandment.
Yes.
About the commandment. I'll tell you about the ten commandments. I'm going to teach us about the 10 commandments. Those 10 commandments receive the, I told you about the basic nature of God and the about God and man. It's the nature of God and man and some like that. So I'll teach us about the 10 commandments. They are all very relevant to the praise the Lord. So can we begin to pray? Can you begin to appreciate your Father? Can you begin to thank Him for tonight? Just bless him. Thank him for this light. Say, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. Truth is light. Light is understanding. Understanding. Unveiling. Light is light, is a life form. The life that is inside God. We have so many names for it. Light, we call it light, truth. Truth, light. Life. The life. Just appreciate your Father and thank him. Bless him for today. Thank him. Thank you, Father. From everything we have heard, you could understand why we know that this thing is wrong and we still go ahead to do it. Why? No, look at it. This is wrong. You know it's wrong. You don't want to do it. But you still go ahead and do it. Romans 7. He said, the things I don't want to do, I am doing them. He said what? He said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. But I find another law working in my member. You understand? There's another power that is compelling me to do it, even when I don't want to do it. That's the power of death. Because Adam and Eve, you think they wanted to eat that tree? You think they don't want to eat it? Amen. But you know, the narration, when they saw that it was good for food, and he took it. But deep within, they know that God does not want them to eat this thing. But there was an over, there was something that overrides what God has said. And that's the power of death. It will override, it had a tendency, he seeks to override everything that you know about God. That's what happened to Paul, what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. The one I want to do, I can't do it. I want to do it, I can't do it. So what is stopping me from doing it? There's another, he said, I found another power, another law, another power at work inside of my member. And that's what Jesus came, they said that he might, through death, destroy him that has the power of death, and deliver them who all their life are subject to bondage through the fear of death. Every man that is born is subject to bondage through the fear of death, the power of death. The Bible calls it the power of darkness. That he can deliver us from that power. Jesus had to yield himself to death. Jesus had to submit to death so that he can overcome death. Even for Jesus, it was not easy to conquer the power of death. You will know what happened at Gethsemane. If it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. It was difficult for him. If it was difficult for the man Christ, the God man, or the God man, the man God, then what about for a man? It's an impossible task. He said, with God, he said, with man, it is impossible. That's what he said. With man, it's impossible. It's only God in his full regalia, in his full strength, that can overcome the power of death. And that's why if you are, he said, abide in me. If you abide in me, you bear fruit.
Yes.
The day you leave me, that you are gone. You abide, stay in me. It's only in God, the power to overcome the power of death. All these things you hear about greed, stealing money. Why our politician, a brother in a Bible study, has gone become our governor now, our minister now, is stealing money. And it's beyond, he go there with energy, zeal, he want to do it. But overcome, you know, Romans 7. If you are not built up in the faith, built up, grounded and rooted in God, there is no way you go there, you'll not be swept off. Even some of us here now, if we go there now, God didn't need to do a measure of work. If we go there now, we'll be swept off. Yes, now we swept off the power of death. The power of death. Praise the Lord. Reverend fathers have become governor now. They went, all these politicians, this and that. Reverend father had left his, how do you call it? Left his, is it, I don't know the name, but left his office, his setting, priesthood or something. He left. His priesthood, he was still a reverend father, but let's say in official, the official priesthood duty, and went to serve in the secular. You think he went there to steal money? No, he went there with a desire, but by the time he left, it's all kinds of stories you start hearing. You know, all kinds of stories. You know, that is a power. Praise the Lord. It's a power we are confronting. Call it the power of death. Amen. Praise the Lord. The power of death. So many of us, you want to get married, I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to commit sin as a young man, maybe God helps you keep yourself like that. Then you now get married. I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to commit sin. If you are not rooted in God, you remember after you have done it. You are not rooted and grounded in God, you know, and being renewed day by day. It's a power. How many of you know people commit sin and they are crying? They commit sin and they are crying. Some people have even committed sin at that spot where they committed that sin, they'll carry their phone and call their pastor. Be like Ali, I had this message one time, a brother, or you know, like that was discipling a sister. They even advised him, be careful, all those things. Discipling a sister, keep your name. He said it was that same place where they committed the something that they called. Or they called him. Called them that look at what we have done. And they were crying. What happened? That means not something the brother loved. Is another love was handed over to him in the another temporary to get something done. And that was that fair, something that was done. Amen. You must be rooted and raised up in God's power. The kingdom of God is not in word, it's not in talk, it's in what? It's in power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He said, do not depart from Jerusalem until you are endued with what?
Power.
Endowment of power. You are endued with power from on high. Amen. This is not the power to go and be even do things outside. This is the power to walk with God. The power to stand. The power to bring forth fruit in righteousness. The power to do the basic thing that God is asking us to do. You know, all of us know about prayer, but we cannot pray. We cannot pray. This is the explanation. Straightforward and it's clear and simple. We want to know the study of the word, you know, fellowship in the word. His number one goal is to stop you from fellowship. What the problem, one of the high problems we have in the church is fellowship. People are not fellowship with the Spirit. People are not having genuine koinonia, genuine fellowship with the Holy Ghost, genuine fellowship with God. Even in the visible church, one of his main target is to stop you from accessing God, access to God, to cut it off. That's your fellowship life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The things I want to do, I cannot do them. Praise the Lord. So after, can you begin to pray? Everything, that power, you need to walk in the reality, the strength of this power. Everything we want to do, we'll do them. The things we don't want to do, then we'll not do them. Stop it. And the things we want to do, we'll do them. See all this addiction to pornography. Believer, one of the sins that is common among believers is masturbation. They want to stop, they are crying year after year, but not able to stop. It's another walking. That chains are not broken from within. Praise all of those things stops us from accessing God. Stop people from accessing God. Stop the brethren, because by the time you are doing all those things, how can you be growing in God and start touching some realms and dimensions? You are battling masturbation and pornography here or there. So all of those things has a goal. Pornography is not an end in itself. It's a goal to stop you, to stop you from accessing, to stop your fellowship life. So the things we want to stop, we'll stop them. And the things we want to do, we'll do them. Can you begin to go? Let's begin to appreciate the Lord. You need to pray. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to your Father. Talk to the Holy Ghost. His name is Help. He's here to help. His name is 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 Help. Through Him we'll be vibrant in obedience. Through Him we'll be vibrant in our fellowship life with God. In our devotion, in our private, personal, devotional life we'll be vibrant. Through Him we'll be vibrant in the world, in the Word of God. Be vibrant in prayers. Be vibrant in obedience. We'll be vibrant in love. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And through Him, through the workings of the Spirit, through the operation of divine power, we'll begin to walk in the love that is already shed abroad in our heart. It's there. It's just for us to arise and walk in it. It's there. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. The day you met God, the day you got born again, the day the Holy Ghost come upon you, comes to indwell inside of you, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Is there? See, but you need divine power to walk in to walk in the love of God. Yes. To walk in the love of God on a daily basis. The love of God is divine, so you need divine abilities. You need divine strength. You need divine power to walk in love. The natural thing to do is hatred. The natural thing to do is hatred. You need divinity to walk in love. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Father. We thank you. Reverence and adore you. We magnify and exalt you. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Is thy Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. Is thy Holy Ghost, Spirit of the King of Kings. Is thy Holy Ghost, Spirit of the age to come, renewing everything in obedience to Christ. In everything in obedience to Christ. Organizing everything in obedience to Christ, changing everything in obedience to Christ.